Well, if you turn your Bibles to Proverbs 23, verse 6. Proverbs 23, verse 6. It's a good day. 2010, it's going to be a good year. We just keep going up, closer to God, further in the things of God, closer to Him, closer to what He wants us to be. And this year is going to be a great year. We're going to look back and say 2010 was a great year. Thank God. We're going to expect, I know I'm expecting my life just to, just when I'm standing, you know, at the end of the year in 2010, I look back and say, wow, it was a good year. We expect that. In Proverbs 23, verse 6, now we'll get to the verse we're going to be focusing on, but just some context. It says, do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. The verse I want to focus on is verse 7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. He's saying in this context, you know, don't eat the bread of a miser. He may tell you, eat and drink and eat up, but he's not really, his mouth is not speaking what's in his heart. And how a man is in his heart, or what, as he thinks in his heart, that's the way he really is. And this guy, you know, eat and drink, eat, you know, I'm acting like he's generous, but he's not, he's a miser. Because that's the way he thinks. And that's what I want to focus on today. And just as we open up this new year in 2010, that, you know, what's going to change us into what we'd like to be is how we think. It starts with how we think. Because whatever we say to each other, what you say is really an overflow of what you think. As you think, as your thought patterns are, is the way you're going to be. Period. I mean, it doesn't matter what we say, what our saying affects, can affect what we do. But just like this miser, we can mouth words. We can have heard things that are in the Word. And if we just give lip service to those things, but they're not really what we think, it's not going to change our lives. So, in other words, we can hear a sermon that tells us what God's will is in a certain area. But if all throughout the week and all throughout our, you know, we read it, we read something at home, or we listen to a CD, or we come to church and we talk to our fellow Christians, and we talk a good game and we say things, but all through the week and all the time, really our thinking is opposite. So we go around, so then our thinking is going to affect what we really say. And when I'm talking, you know, you can say, I can try to fool you and say something that, real, like this miser, I can tell you, well, you know, eat up and everything, but I'm not real, that's not the way I really think. We can do that and act the way we think we ought to act around people, but your thinking will affect what you really say when something happens in your life on Tuesday and something is going on, you say, you know, that you're talking to yourself about something. Those are the words that really affect your course. That's what affects what's really in your heart, and it comes from your perspective, because your words are affected by how you perceive a situation, how we think. If we think a certain way, we'll act and speak in accordance with that. If we think a house is burning down, then we probably will run out of the house because that's what we believe, whether it's true or not. If there's a fire alarm in a hotel and you don't know if it's real or not, you're going to run for the exit because you believe there may be a fire. But there may not be a fire, but that doesn't really matter at that point because you believe there's a fire. Conversely, if you think the fire alarm's faulty and the fire alarm's going out, but you know for sure that it is just an exercise because you're in contact with the hotel manager or whatever, you might just sit there and go, it's just a fire, you know, it's just an exercise. I'm going to sit here and watch TV. Your beliefs, what you think and what you act, that's affecting how you believe, what you act. It affects on what you say. It affects everything. It's not external things. It's what we really believe and think day to day. What goes through our mind. So we're gonna talk about that today, and how we end up at the end of 2010 is going to be affected by our thinking. And our thinking then should be based on the Word, which is what's going to get us to where we want to go. If you turn to Romans 12, verse 1. "...... As a man thinks in a heart, thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And as we go into 2010, as you think in your heart is the way you're going to be. It doesn't matter if we get onto some program or we make 15 resolutions. It's how we think. We can write a list. We can make all these resolutions. We can do any of those things. We can start, you know, trying to act different. But if our thinking doesn't fundamentally change. Now, I'm not talking about, again, these things, we're focusing on Jesus, and that's where we're going. If we focus on Jesus and what he's done and what is truth in our life, that's what's going to change us. I'm not talking about, okay, now I'm going to change the way I think. It's just focusing on God's word. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world, or don't be conformed to the way the world does things, or don't be conformed to the habits that are worldly or not the way we want to be. Don't be conformed with your old way of doing acting on things, but be transformed. How? To be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how. How many people are making resolutions or have made resolutions and are in the first few days of implementing them or giving them up? One of the two. I mean, do you always see the gym commercials the first few days? You see all the diet commercials the first few days of the year. All that stuff pops up because they know that people have decided they're going to make a change for the new year. So they're going to capitalize it, you know, and get you in there with new deals and everything. But the new deals, unless we fundamentally change the way we view things, it really, I mean, we can do stuff by sheer willpower, but if we change the way we actually view different things, then and we get God's view, that's what's going to transform us. It's when we focus on the way God sees things, that's what's going to transform us by the renewing of our mind, the changing of our mind, that we focus. So when we're walking around, we see things a certain way that causes our behavior to change. If we see, like if you saw exercise as just this grueling, just can't, boy, that's just the worst thing in the world. I don't want to exercise. It's terrible to exercise. And that's the thought you had. Then you probably don't want to exercise. But if you looked at it as that's part of life and I want to exercise, I mean, I don't know that, I don't know that anybody wants to be cooped up in a room, you know, with just a machine or whatever. But if you changed your mind, even in that way, to where you thought that was the best time, that was the way to relax. And I'm not saying you should think like this. I'm just giving an example. That's how I get my stress out. I love, some people say, I just love to go to the gym. That's the way they think. They love to spend time there. Some people go to where that's what they do. Tons of time. They're there doing all these exercises. Now, they think different. So instead of it being something that, I hate to go to the gym, these people love to go to the gym. And I'm not saying either one is right or wrong. I'm just giving an example that the difference is their perspective. The difference is the way they think. So the way they think, they decide to go, they go after the things that they have decided are good. It's like eating vegetables. Kids, I mean, you know, a kid may think those are gross. I don't want to eat vegetables. But, you know, as you go on, you know, my mom always gave us fresh vegetables like, carrots and green peppers and cauliflower and broccoli, and then with ranch dip. So I grew up eating those things, and I always liked those, you know. Never liked Brussels sprouts. We had those a couple times. I never liked those. Stuff like a few things. But majority, I don't think I've had eggplant a lot. But a lot of those things, I just grew up, that's the way we thought. We liked them. So it wasn't anything for me to eat those. I was like, wow, those are great. But if you have the mentality that they're gross and you don't want to eat them, you won't eat them. But sooner or later we realize that whether we like them or not, we have to eat them because they're good for us. And so we have to change our mentality. Otherwise, we deal with the consequences and we can change our mentality so that we actually like them. Now, one thing is I've been eating them with less ranch dip, you know, just eating them. Now, that's different because you think, well, that's the way I've eaten them all my life, and I like them with ranch dip. But you know what? Eating a cucumber just plain just doesn't taste the same as eating it with ranch. But I'm learning to do that, and that's just, oh, this is good. It tells me I like that, because I, you know, not any particular reason. I don't mind eating ranch. It's just I was like, well, I should just be able to eat them plain anyway. Anyway, that's aside. But anyway, it's a mentality change. It's how we view things, and that determines how we act. And it's really comes down to that. So the core is, what do we program our minds with? I'm not so. The point is not to think, okay, great. So my new year's resolution now, instead of doing these things, is to change the way I think. Well, that can be just as daunting if it's just like, well, okay, now I have to change the way I think. But all it really is focusing on what God has said, brainwashing ourselves to, instead of doing instead when we have a thought the way in line with the behavior or thinking that we don't want, we replace it with what God has said. So when a thought comes in that is along the lines of what we don't want, we just say, well, wait, no, that's not what God has said about that, so I'm going to think like this. And it may take a little bit to get ourselves over to where this new pattern of thinking replaces that old, but that's really all it is. And once we start really thinking this new way, then it will actually change the way we behave. Because just like the guy that loves to go to the gym, you know, he didn't have to. Somehow, something made him want to go to the gym. And so he doesn't work real hard to decide he wants to go to the gym. He loves it, so he follows it. That's just the way it is. Similarly, the person that does not want to go to the gym, not that we have to go to the gym, go outside, go whatever, this person doesn't want to do that. They're not working real hard to stay in that vein. That's just the way they think. So that's the way they follow. That's what they act like. And the more we line up our thinking with God's word. So when we're walking around, I mean, this may not be any thought you ever had, but people can think that God really isn't on their side, that God really doesn't love them. I mean, you may talk a good game, we all have heard it, but God, you know, God loves me. Oh yeah, I know for God so loved the world, blah, blah, blah. I know, you know, greater is he is in me. I know that I can do all things through Christ's strength. I know all that, yeah. And you can talk it, but then in the day, at our job, when something happens and it looks like we're alone and nothing is going right, what do we think at that? What do we really think at that point? Not what's come out of our mouth or what we're parroting, but what reaction takes place? What do we feel like? What do we feel like? We're alone at that place? Do we feel like, I don't know what I'm going to do? How am I going to handle this? Do I feel like I don't know, where is God in this situation? I know I've done this and this and this. See, what happens at those times shows us what we really think. It doesn't show us what we've been programmed with or we're regurgitating. It shows us what we really think. And when we come into grips with what we really think about a situation, that's what we have to change. And a lot of times we're telling ourselves the wrong thing. Just like if we're telling ourselves that vegetables stink and I never want to eat them, we're telling ourselves the wrong thing. And we could, you know, talk a good game, but when it push comes to shove, we're not going to eat them. Well, we have to change. Something along the line is telling us the wrong thing. So if we're, to use an example, if we're thinking in that situation where things are going bad at work or whatever, that, you know, we start to realize that, wait a minute, I'm acting as if I really don't think God's with me. Now, I know with my, I could tell you that, I could list a bunch of scriptures that says the opposite. I could tell you Romans, that in Romans 8, where it says, you know, who could separate us from the love of God? You know, shall this and this and this? No, he's with us through all things. We are more than conquerors through all things. I could tell you those scriptures, but right now, what am I acting like? I'm acting like I don't really believe that, because my thinking is somewhere in there that he really doesn't, or he's not going to come through for me. Or you know, I can say I believe this part of the word, but I don't really think that way. Those are the thoughts that will change us. When we talk about here in Romans that be transformed by the renewing of our mind, it's at the core, our core thoughts. What do we do when nobody's around? When we're alone in our room How are we reacting to certain things? That'll show us where our mind and our thoughts really are. Because that's, back in Proverbs, it says, as we think in our heart, as we think in our core, as we really think, that's how we are. Whether we act a different way or not, that's how we are. Those are the results we're going to have. So if we speak all this stuff when things are going well, but when things turn bad, we see where we're really at. That's what we're going to really have. In 2010, I'm not saying this in a way that, boy, we just have to do all this. What I'm saying is, if we find the symptoms of not believing, we find ourselves acting in a way that we know is not the way we should be acting if we really believe what we said we believed, the cure is not to say, well, I'm just going to believe hard. Am I really going to think that way? It's to change the fundamental way we think so that it's not so hard to do it. It's that's just the way we think, so that's what we do. And we act like that. I'm not saying there aren't going to be times that you're going to have to say, well, I can choose A, to not believe God, or B, to choose just to believe God, and I'm going to choose to believe God in spite of all this. I'm not saying there won't ever be times that we have to make a physical choice and be willing to believe God in spite of it. That's going to all be this bed of roses if we just get everything right. But if we get in the habit to where we believe God's word in certain areas, whatever area it is, and we believe that in spite of anything, and that becomes our habit, just like the habit of the guy that just goes to the gym because he loves to do it, he's not working really hard. He might have to tell himself once in a while, I really don't want to, go to this. I'm going to go to the gym. But if that's his passion, you got to keep these people away, or whatever area it is. Not that, if it's being on the computer, or if it's, playing golf or whatever, you don't have to. It gets to be such a way of life that's what the person does. That's what, in any of our, lives, that's what we do. We follow what we believe, what we love. And if we get to where, we focus our mind on what God has said and believe and just choose to take him at his word, then that's when it'll really affect our lives in the middle of situations. That's when our thinking will actually be different. We won't have to put on a good game. We're not talking a good game because this is coming out because I believe this. This is what's going to happen. Why? Because God said it. I'm not trying to put on airs for you. That's what I believe. It's coming. I believe this. My thinking, I know this is what the circumstances are, but this is what God said, and I believe that. See, I've changed my thinking now. I'm not trying to say, boy, inside I am shaking in my boots. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know that you've heard some of this teaching or two, and you know what the Bible says, so I'm going to act like everything's okay because I don't want you to think that I'm not in faith or I'm not believing. See, that's just a game. That doesn't change our life. That's a game. I don't have faith to you. I have faith towards God. I'm more worried about what you're thinking about what I'm saying than actually getting the job done and changing. And we've all probably played that game, and it doesn't really get us anywhere. Certainly not going to change our lives this year. Because I don't live with any of you 24/7. I can say whatever I want in the next 30 minutes, but I'm going home. And if I don't, if my doing doesn't and my thinking doesn't line up with anything I've said, it's not going to matter. I mean, it doesn't matter if I fool somebody else if it's not affecting my life. It doesn't change me. I'm just playing a game. It's not going to get any results in my life. That's why, we could be saying, everybody could think that we're doing the right things, but they're not living with us. They don't know what we really think in our heart. And sometimes it's obvious. But the thing is, if we really identify the things that we'd like to change and change those and change our thinking. We are honest with ourselves and say, you know what? I don't believe that. I know I've heard it, but you know what? Right now where I am, that scripture, I don't believe it. If I'm honest with myself, I act like, or you could say, I act like I don't believe it. You know what? I see the root of that problem. I'm choosing to believe that. Now, I'm going to choose to make this, what God's word says in any area, I'm going to choose to make that thinking my thinking. And if there's something that comes in contrary to that and says, no, that's not true, no, I'm going to choose that, no, God's word is true, and I'm going to believe that. And I'm going to purpose in my heart to change the root and change my thinking so that that I'll experience the benefits. And again, I am not talking about, well, I'm just going to bear down and do it. It's by the grace of God that we do it. But sometimes we don't realize what's going on, that we're being duped and pushed over in a corner, and we keep trying to remedy the symptoms up the road, you know, downstream. We keep trying to remedy, I'm going to believe, and I don't know what's going on. But if we just looked at it honestly in our hearts, we really don't. We're really thinking. That God isn't going to come through for us, or that God's word isn't true, but then we're trying to downstream deal with the fact that we're having trouble believing. We're having trouble making that real in our lives, or we find stuff coming out of our mouth all the time that doesn't line up with what we say we believe, and yet we try to change our mouth. But inside, these thoughts are still coming, and we're not realizing that that's the way we really believe. That's the way I really think, yet I'm trying to change and speak something that's different. Now, there is a time, if there's things coming in our head that are just contrary, I'm not saying we just spew whatever stuff is coming in our head. What I'm saying is we really have to deal with the root, because how we speak eventually will line up with what's going on in our brain, and our actions will line up with both of those. And that's the telltale sign of what we're really thinking here, and where we are in the whole process. And we just choose to just put our focus on God. You know, you think about it. People say, well, just get all your scriptures out and just focus on it. And just do it until you know you really believe it. Well, let me ask you something. I mean, the early Christians didn't even have all these things that we have written, the New Testament. Now, there was the Old Testament at different parts, but I don't know that everybody had all that stuff written. And my point is that there'll be methods that are tied to doing exactly what I'm saying. Now, somebody may have decided, I'm going to change my thinking, so they wrote all these scriptures out, and they just did them 15 minutes in the morning and 15 minutes at night, and they did it, and then they tell you that's the way you should do it. See, that's a method. The point is, the early Christians, they couldn't turn to Romans. And then they didn't have a computer to go and look up all these things and type them out and make a copy of it. And if they lost that copy, they print another one out. And boy, this is the way you get close to God. You print out your copy. Well, how does that apply 2,000 years ago? It's how you really, you know, they may have heard Paul come to their church, or to, you know, their new believers come and speak these truths. They had to keep them alive. It was by fellowshipping with people and in the midst of everything, believing what they had heard. But there wasn't something that they just kept going over, and they could, you know, it wasn't like what we have. And so some of these things that we say, well, we have to do this, this is how we're going to get results. It's not really the way we need to get results. That's the way somebody may have gotten results. It may be like an exercise program. How many of those are there out there? How many diets are there out there? But that may work for different types of people. But the point is, we need to go. The real thing is, in the case of thinking, is that we just need to change it to line up with whatever God has said, however that works for our individual cases, whatever we need to do, that however God is leading us to change whatever part that we need to change, wherever the root is, because we don't know how some of these things got there. Some things that got there 20 years ago, and you don't even know why you have a distrust for certain things or whatever. God knows, and He knows how to break it and show it, to change it so that we're thinking right. He has exactly the right tailored plan to change and to make all to for us to get over to where we need to be. And it's just a process, and it starts right now. When we walk out of here, when we find something something that is not, we be honest with ourselves, when we realize there's things there that shouldn't be there, it starts with just being honest right there, identifying it, and then changing it. And just going on and saying, God, that's not the way I should be. Now, if we know there's scriptures that contradict that, then maybe we look at those scriptures or remind ourselves of those scriptures, or, you know, whatever. We believe God, that He's going to help us and show us how to do it. But there is no 10-step program or 7-step program, because it might work for me, but it might not work for you. And if I give you some program or some way to do it, and it's totally against the way you operate and totally the way you do things, You're taking a man's method and trying to apply it to your life and circumventing probably the very solution that the Holy Spirit has. The bottom line is just changing our thinking, however that happens. And it can be making a decision right now, walking out and saying, you know what? I see where that, I've been thinking this way. I should be thinking this way. That's it. I'm thinking this way. Whenever I tend to go that way, I'm going to say no. I'm going to think this way. Not in any method saying, no, I have to do it a certain way. I have to stop and say it out loud, whatever. But no, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to think this way. And you know what? That might be it forever. That thinking has changed forever. That's the bottom line. It's not the process. God has not lined out, and this applies to every area. He's not laid out many processes in here. He's laid out the principles. But he didn't tell you, you know, do this. We just read. He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He didn't tell you how to do it. It's the Word of God that you're going to renew it with. But he didn't tell you exactly step A, B, and C. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. That's why we have God Almighty to show us. That's why, you know, the Word. That's why when I'm speaking right now, including all of us, there's 5 different messages going on in our hearts. Because he's quickening the things you need to hear. The things in your life that maybe you need to change. It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to us right now. And he's the one that has the answers. No matter, he's the one that will direct us and guide us in 2010 to get to where we need to be. Do you realize he knows exactly where you're going to be in 2010 in December 31st? He knows exactly right now what you're going to be doing. He knows where you're going to be at 12 midnight. He knows what status every part of your life is going to be. He knows where your finances are going to be. He knows where your health is going to be. He knows where your children are going to be. He knows where your relationships are going to be. He knows that right now. Now, he knows where he'd liked you to be. He knows where you're going to be next year and the year after that and the year after that. He knows everything, and he knows exactly how to get us there, every one of us. And so he knows a custom-tailored plan to say, you know what, you need to be here. I know where I want you. I know what I've called you to do. Now, do this. Work on this. And he knows the quickest way, the most efficient way to get you changed into what he wants you to be. He knows exactly the root of every problem. He knows exactly where all the thoughts came from. He knows. He is all-knowing, all-wise. We may say, you know, so something may quicken. Somebody may mention some. It might be a program, or it may be a scripture, or it may be something. And somebody says something that quickens something in your heart and says, there's something there. That's the Holy Spirit bringing something in. He's not limited by how it gets there. There might be a program that you read and say, you know what? That's what I need. Maybe exactly that. But for me to stand up and say, this program will work for everybody, see, that's not the same thing. You may hear something from somebody, and that works for you. And that may be how they did it. But God's not limited by just programs. God's not limited. Let's read one more scripture, and then we'll close. Let's go to Ephesians 4:17. Ephesians 4:17 says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. He says, there's these Gentiles, these other people are blind. They have darkness. Their thinking is off. That's why they do all this stuff, because they don't understand. He said, but you haven't learned Christ that way. In verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, See, it's in Jesus. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. Jesus is the one that is as the keeper of your covenant. Jesus is the one that is leading you and guiding you. Jesus is the one that has a plan for your life. He's the one that we need to go to, because where your plan may be leading you is not the same place my plan needs to lead me. And if I try to make you do my plan, you won't get to the same place or the place that God needs you. So that's why we go to God and get our plan from Him, our thoughts from Him, and He will get us where we need to be. And He knows the perfect path to get there. It's about Jesus. He said, if indeed you have heard Him and been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, the old thoughts, the old ways of doing things, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the attitude of your mind. You be renewed, you change it. Be renewed in the attitude of your mind. And you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You put off those old thoughts and the old way of doing things and put on the new man. Be renewed in the spirit, in the attitude of your mind, so that you don't walk this other way. You walk according to Jesus. You walk according to Christ and according to the new man, which we are, the truth that is in us, the truth. So he said they're ignorant. These other people are ignorant. Well, it all starts right at the beginning. If we're ignorant of Jesus, we won't believe on Him. We won't make Him our Savior. Well, there's all these other things that maybe we're ignorant of. And really, it just comes down to this. It's not complicated, that Jesus put by the covenant that we have through Jesus, that we are back in right relationship with God, and that everything good has been given to us through Jesus. Everything, the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's trying to take those things away from us. But God is good, and He wants us to have good things. If we can establish that in our thoughts, truly, truly, that we believe, bad devil, good God. It doesn't seem like everything's going right, but God's with me. I believe that. That's the thinking. That's Christ. That's Jesus. And God's got a plan for me. This is going to be the best year of my life. You say, no, it's not going to be the best. Well, see, I'm not talking about just being super, flippant with it. I know there's different things that go on in different years, but I'm saying to have the attitude that I'm going forward. I'm going up. I'm not going back. Not that, well, I don't know. I mean, there's this and this and this. See, that shows us where we're at. I mean, I know. It's almost like to say, well, this is going to be the best year of my life, or I'm going to expect good things. I'm not saying that flippantly like some mantra. I know that you think, well, will it really be the best or whatever? I know there's reality and thoughts that we may have, but if we have that too, God's bringing me forward. God has a plan for me. God never goes backwards. He does go forward. And 2010 is going to be excellent, and I am going to be the person God wants me to. He has a plan for me, and I'm going to go forward with that, and I'm going to believe what He has said. And we start getting that attitude, it will change the way we act, because we expect it to be good. We expect things. And you know what? That's the core of faith. It's what we believe and act on, just like we talked about, and we'll close with this at the beginning, about if the building is really burning down, we want to get out of there. But if we know it's not burning down, we won't get out of there. It's what we believe. It's what we believe, and that's based on what we really think. But in 2010, we renew our minds, we renew the way we think, and go after God, run after Him, and we'll see differences in 2010. We'll see changes in 2010. It's going to be good. Amen. It's going to be good. We're going to believe God and just rest in Jesus. Just knowing that He knows what's going on and where I'm going to be, I can fully trust Him. Just resting in Him, that I don't have to have it all figured out. You know what? He's got it figured out. He knew. He knew before I was born I was going to be here. He knows where I'm going to be, so I can rest in Him. I can rest in Him.